Hello and welcome to Medi-Call, episode 198. I almost said something else. It's been a while.
Did you forget the name of our podcast? It's been that long?
In my brain, I went through all of the former names of our podcast, and I almost said all of them in that brief pause there. But anyways, we have been Cardnock Life. We have been Modern Medi-Call. We are Medi-Call, episode 198 today.
Hey-o.
I'm Corey. Here's Daryl.
Yo.
We had a brief break in there, a couple of busy weeks going on, but a good week to come back because out of the blue, we had a huge BNR update for many formats. And so, of course, that's what we're going to talk about today. And just kind of catch up on where the game is at. We have, of course, Double Masters being released. It doesn't impact too much Constructed Magic stuff, but maybe just thoughts and reactions to that. What's up?
Great press. Trying to bring prices down, man.
Yeah, trying to
make
bring prices down.
Field.
Yeah, I suppose that is something that we absolutely care about. I think bringing prices down is kind of an interesting look at it. It absolutely does that because of availability. But the topic surrounding Double Masters has been, oh my god, VIP boosters are like $100 a piece. So you have the option to spend a lot of money, and it does seem very, very gouged. However, you're right, the availability does in fact bring prices down, and thank God for stuff like Mishra's Bauble being reprinted. My God, that card needed it badly. On MTGO, I'm thinking specifically, but there are tons and tons of cards out there that are like just needing the reprint. Like,
Ad Nauseam was randomly $30.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but lately I've been just building commander decks like crazy, and I'm finding all these cards that I had no idea. Like, Demonic Consultation I came across in my collection is like a $13 card. It was like in my like 25-cent pile, you know? Just random
stuff.
It was
25 cents until Thassa's Oracle's printed. Tainted Pact was like $4. That's 50. Thanks, Thassa's Oracle. You're the best.
Yeah, Thassa's Oracle. What a champion. What a great design, right?
Thank God that card is dead, functionally, in Pioneer, because God, that card is miserable.
Yeah, it's stupid. So before we go into that, we should say ManaTraders.com is our lovely sponsor. You can use the promo code MODERNMEDICAL, all one word, no spaces, dashes, or hyphens, or anything, for 14% off at checkout, and that is one of our former names, as previously mentioned. We used to be called Modern Medi-Call, so that would explain why that is our promo code.
Yeah, formerly known as.
Yeah, Modern Medi-Call, all one word at checkout at manatraders.com for 14% off. But these bans impact Standard, Pioneer, Historic, and Brawl, which I don't think anyone really cares so much about Brawl unless you randomly happen upon that format online every once in a while on Arena. But until Brawl is Historic Brawl, I don't find any joy in playing this stupid format on Arena with just Standard cards. It doesn't seem like it makes much sense for it to just include Standard cards. I don't get it myself, but whatever.
The whole point, man.
Yeah. Well, it is the whole point, but also, like, Magic Arena, like, has all of these cards that have very limited opportunity for play, except for Historic. Thank God for Historic, and I'm really enjoying that format. But Brawl seems like the perfect place for those types of opportunities, don't you think? I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
Anyways.
I mean, you named it. It's Historic Brawl. You solve the puzzle.
But you can't play it. There's no lobby for it on Arena.
Well, I mean, that's just an oversight on Wizards' part.
they put it up every once in a while as like a special event type of thing. So, I don't know. It's one of those weird things that they do where they try to make it special and charge you to play, but
well, that's kind of stupid.
Yeah, it is kind of stupid, but welcome to WotC.
Let's talk about Pioneer bannings.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about Pioneer. So okay, do we want to cover Standard? We should probably mention what's going on in Standard at least, right?
Yes, we should.
All right,
I don't want to cover it, but we should mention it. Yes.
Okay. All right. So Standard, I mean, the way that this all got dropped, though, this was all Monday, August 3rd. This ban and restricted update was not forecast by a week as the most recent ones have been. And they have been doing for like, what, the last two, three updates, they've said there will be a BNR in a week. It will impact the following formats. Nothing was said about this one. It was just like out of the blue. boom, here are like 13 cards that you can no longer play with. And effective immediately.
Yes, that's great. But that's a smart piece because most of Wizards' play now is digital. So being able to make it effective immediately, fantastic.
Yeah. So I don't know. It seems like the general reaction to this stuff was pretty good, despite the surprise of it all. And I know that people were pretty happy about the fact that the forecasting was happening. It kind of gave you the opportunity to kind of plan ahead and sort of, avoid the feel bad of, being blindsided by bans that it devalued your deck. But in this case, everyone was kind of like, oh God, I'm so tired of these decks that I'm so happy to see them gone. And it was just a net positive reaction overall, I think, in almost every case. So Standard, Wilderness Reclamation Band, Growth Spiral Band, Teferi Time Raveler Band, and Cauldron Familiar Band. See ya.
Perfect.
But many of them, and they mentioned this, are going to be rotating this fall anyway, so they don't have much more life left in the format. But they're axing them early because there is quite a bit of online opportunity. There's quite a bit of opportunity to play these cards online yet due to the pandemic. And so they want to just kind of breathe some new life into this really, really stale feeling format for players that really only have this one route to play Constructed Magic. And the benefit is people have gotten wild card reimbursement for this stuff. So if you've been playing Teferi Time Raveler online, you just got four rare wild cards, effectively getting to play with free copies of Teferi Time Raveler for a long time.
Yeah, four mythic wild cards, right?
He's only a rare.
Oh, I just assumed he was
War mythic. War of the Spark. Yeah, War of the Spark, he was one of those rares. The rest of them are uncommons and commons, so it didn't really make a big difference. But the Cauldron Familiar ban was a little more proactive, they said, though, because of the banning of the other cards and because of the rotation coming up, they expected that the Jund Sacrifice decks were going to maintain a lot of their pieces and were likely going to be the strongest deck remaining. And so rather than having the format likely, devolve into just being Jund Sacrifice all over, they just got rid of the cat entirely. So I appreciate that. It would have been interesting to see if that actually happened or if other decks would have popped up. But, obviously we're not going to. So that's fine. I don't know if you know much about Standard, Daryl, if you've been following the format, but what do you expect to happen at this point?
I don't know much because they got rid of Cat. I was a huge fan of Cat.
Yeah.
Cat Oven. That was kind of the deck I was interested in playing in Standard. So now that they've gotten rid of Cat Oven, I don't really know where to go if I was to play a Standard tournament tomorrow.
I think the Mono Red is a pretty obvious go-to at this point. I think Mono Red is already all over the arena metagame with the best of one lobbies. So I think Embercleave is going to be back with a vengeance at least for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, Mono Green Stompy. Uro's still around. Obviously, Uro is a big part of this and a huge ramp strategy. Without its best friend, Growth Spiral, we don't know if the ramp will be such a thing anymore, but there's an awful lot on the ban list now for Standard that involves, putting lands into play or, just value, drawing cards and, accelerating your plan to a larger threat and controlling the board. So, Uro obviously fits into those kinds of schemes, those sort of big mana schemes. And I don't know, I imagine there's still enough support. That card is incredibly powerful. So
I'm gonna be honest. For now, based just on my past, I'm looking to cast whatever Sphinx's Revelation variant there is, whatever Wrath of God variant there is in the Standard. Get out, dust off my absorbs for the next couple of months, and that would be what I'm interested in playing, because Teferi Time Raveler was a big slap in the face for those strategies, and so to be able to utilize them again, probably some sort of Yorion strategy as well, playing the Omens to get a little value early, have some preordains, have some blinkable targets, and then potentially touching a third color is something I'm probably interested in, but some sort of deck that involves a Wrath of God variant is probably my assumption for my go-to.
Yeah, that would be Shatter the Sky.
Time Wipe, I think, is also legal. So you can Time Wipe and bounce your Yorion.
Yep, you could do that.
Rebuy your Yorion.
Mm-hmm.
Fires is not legal, so we can't do Fires of Invention shenanigans. But
Esper for Doom Foretold seems like a nice little thing. Yeah, I don't know.
Shark Typhoon is making big waves, pun intended, ooh, on the format. So I think Shark Typhoon will be around.
Me like you to Shark Typhoon. Yes, I'm a fan of this card. Mm-hmm. Everything I like to be doing in Magic, nothing. Literally nothing. Perfect.
Part of its allure, though, too, was that it got around Teferi. So it's hard to say. I imagine it's still good. It's a very strong card. So
I mean, it's still a good card. Cycling and making a body was always good. Like, that's why people played Decree of Justice.
Yeah.
But able to, like, have this, like, true effective finisher that you can also just use as a cantrip in your control decks is very nice. So.
Yeah, yeah. All right, cool. So, all right, we can move on to the real formats then. I do want to talk about Historic, but let's go to Pioneer next.
Sure.
Okay, so we should just real quick mention, I did say Brawl, there was a ban. Teferi Time Raveler banned in Brawl. Don't really want to talk about it, whatever.
Nobody likes this card.
All right, Pioneer, Inverter of Truth is banned, Kathis the Hidden Hand is banned, Walking Ballista is banned, and Underworld Breach is banned, aka combo is no longer a part of this format, at least until a new combo deck is discovered.
I mean, I'm a fan of this. Like, I think the one that was most people were saying was a little heavy-handed was Kathis, but Kathis was just the choice to ban so that when you ban all three of the other combo decks, that one comes to rise. Worth noting, Wilderness Reclamation legal in this format, so we're not necessarily doing the tricksy Nexus of Fate nonsense, but you know, we are explosioning people. We are able to do those sorts of things. So worth noting that is available.
Yeah, on the topic of Kathis, they do address that. They said, while Kathis combo decks are a relatively new reemergence in the metagame, we're seeing signs that these decks are already problematic and would be more so if the top decks were weakened. Kathis decks are currently among the top 5-0 trophy winners in Magic Online Pioneer Leagues, despite being a modest portion of the field. So I think they've got data signaling that this was probably a good decision to make, looking ahead, and I can totally see that. Yep. Those decks are pretty impressive with a strong pilot. So similar to like the KCI days.
Yeah, seeing that Kethis will cause problems once all these other combo decks that are returned faster than it go away, it becomes the soup du jour of combo deck players.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention, I've seen people on Reddit like bitching about other players not conceding to Kathis combo, which, like, Kathis combo has like a very real like fail rate. It's not just like a concede when they start going off. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, there are many opportunities for operator error. There are many opportunities for like you just like mill and just don't find what you need. So the thing is, it kind of does encourage the other player to sit there and just like watch them play through the stupid thing. And it's a really dumb scenario. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyways,
that makes sense.
That shouldn't really affect the decision to ban it, but it does, you know, I guess it feel bad. Anyways, see you later. Inverter of Truth. I'm glad to see it go. I didn't really have the privilege of playing against that deck very often, but I've heard plenty of grumblings about it, and not too disappointed to see it gone.
I don't think anybody's really disappointed to see like this annoying deck just not be a thing anymore.
They also addressed not banning Thassa's Oracle, which we talked about. Thassa's Oracle, obviously the win condition for many of these decks, many of the combo decks. So there might be some other way to win with Thassa's Oracle. But the thing was, if they ban Thassa's Oracle, there's still the opportunity to win with Jace, Wielder of Mysteries, which is, you know, the same text as far as if you draw and you don't have anything left in your library, you win the game. So in a lot of cases, like if you're just looking for like that one card that says that, you don't need like that many multiples of that card to locate it in a situation where you can basically dig through your deck in like Underworld Breach like scenarios. So that probably wouldn't have solved the problem.
I have to figure out, is this card legal in Pioneer? I don't actually know. Is Enter the Infinite legal in Pioneer?
Enter the Infinite. I will check for you. Scryfall. Enter the Infinite. It's in Gatecrash, so yes.
So, I mean, if you really want to do Thassa's Oracle type things, you're just trying to figure out how to cheat Omniscience into play at this point. Like, the best thing you want to do.
Draw cards
equal to... cheat Omniscience.
Enter the Infinite is 8 blue, 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 12 mana. Draw cards equal to the number of cards in your library, then put a card from your hand on top of your library. You have no maximum hand size until your next turn.
Yeah. So, I mean, you just cheat Omniscience into play. You cast this thing, and then when you cast this thing, you draw your deck, put one card back, and you cast Thassa's Oracle, and you win the game.
Yeah, you can still do that with the Twiddle, Lotus, whatever stuff.
Lotus Field Engine. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot harder to do because you're not flashing back your Twiddles from the yard. So that makes the barrier to entry on the Twiddles a little higher. But I think there's like one of the new ultimatums that's like search your deck for 3 mono-colored cards.
Mm-hmm.
And then like your opponent picks one of them, puts them in your deck, and then like you cast the other. So like you just go Omniscience, Enter the Infinite, Thassa's Oracle, and they either give you Omniscience, and if you have anything in your hand worth a damn, you win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Or they give you the literal combo. So they have to give you Omniscience and Enter. Like, they can't give you Omniscience and Enter the Infinite.
Yeah.
Because then you draw your deck and play Thassa's Oracle. So they give you Omniscience, Thassa's Oracle, and hope you don't have Enter the Infinite or Fae of Wishes to go get an Enter the Infinite out of your sideboard to repeat this process.
So are you saying buy Enter the Infinite?
I'm saying if you want to do Thassa's Oracle things... Enter the Infinite is the best support piece I can think of right off the top of my head.
Okay.
So figure out how to cheat Omniscience into play as quickly as possible, whether it's discarding it via discard outlet and reanimating it with something like Obsidian's Aid, mm-hmm. or it's whichever ultimatum it is that was freshly printed that, you know, lets you search for those 3 monocolored cards.
Yeah.
And just like do nothing and keep yourself alive until you're able to do that. Whatever it is, your flavor of the day to get you to that point.
Yeah. Looking at the rest of this ban list for Pioneer, Walking Ballista obviously a part of this because of the mono white devotion deck, the combo between Walking Ballista and Heliod, Sun Crown goes infinite, with damage and life gain there. I'm a little bummed about this one, just purely for the fair uses of Walking Ballista, especially in decks like Constrictor. Like, I really wanted Constrictor to be a thing, and I think Walking Ballista being banned out of this format kind of, you know, puts the nail in the coffin for that one. I feel like that deck really needed Ballista to exist.
Yeah,
a little collateral.
I think it's just too good of a payoff, right? Like, your mono green strategies, like aggressive strategies, can play your mono green ramp. Like, it's too good of a ramp payoff, I think. And then it just also is this like very free win condition.
Yeah, but there aren't any decks that are benefiting from it to like dangerous results at this point. Even the mono green decks have it, but aren't like
we don't know post banning if that changes.
That's true. Yeah, I guess maybe it's just a little bit of caution for like the green devotion decks, and
yeah,
that's fair. Okay. Yeah, so if I'm looking at the Pioneer metagame, I'm looking at the top 8 decks right now in the meta. Obviously on Goldfish, I always use Goldfish. Mono Black Aggro is the most represented deck in the metagame right now, 13.4%. That deck was not touched by this banning. So I think that will continue to be strong. Aggro is a good strategy when the format is really shaking out. However, I think people will go to more like reactive strategies, and if you're going to be playing more removal and more responsive cards, you might have ways to slow down these types of aggression rather than trying to laser focus on your own combo plan.
Sure. So I think one thing, Corey, that you know, I don't want to skip over this because we would be very amiss to not pay attention to it.
Yeah.
This is opening up Pioneer to be a slower format. You know, there's no combos, so there's not like these aggressive, like randomly you just die when you tap out on turn three sort of things happening. So that makes a card like Uro very, very, very good.
Yeah.
In this format. So yeah. Keep your eye on, you know, you already have to buy it. You know, it already exists, but Uro is going to be top shelf going up in price, I think, here for Pioneer.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that one. And I think that Uro is going to show up a lot in those Niv to Light decks. I think Niv to Light is going to be back with a vengeance. That's a deck that is extremely strong when this format slows down. It was... For a while, it was the top deck in the format. It had, you know, it had a good couple of weeks where it was King of the Hill, and then these combo decks kind of took over again. But again, looking at the top eight, Mono Black Aggro, Dimir Inverter, Mono White Devotion, those second and third decks just had a big band to them. Niv to Light is the fourth most played deck, 7.22%. Representation tied with Lotus Breach 7.22%, which also had a big ban to it. So I don't know, Niv to Light could definitely benefit from the format slowing down. That's an Uro deck for sure, and one that basically is just going to like the best value and removal cards in the format, and you know, just wants he has access to everything.
Yeah.
There is also, okay, so then Kathis is beyond that. Spirit, I think, may see some benefit from this. Mono Green, Sultai Delirium, Mono Green Stompy. The last Mono Green I mentioned was Mono Green Devotion. There's Burn, and then Mono Black Vampires I see after that. So that's a lot of shakeup in the format. It will be interesting for sure. I remember there was quite a bit of, like, the mono red like prowessy type of decks. I think that when Lurrus came out, they kind of switched over to like kind of a Lurrus breed. And so the burn decks are just kind of like a low to the ground, like creature based strategy that can kind of recast their threats. So if you're looking to just like prey on the slowing down of the format, that might be a good place to start.
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely think so. I think kind of just I always think from the control perspective because this is the kind of deck I like to play.
Yeah.
You know, Sphinx's Revelation.
Yeah.
Might be back on the menu a little bit. You know, it's a Fairy Time Rival, still a Magic card, infuriatingly in this format, but I think you have to come equipped ready to deal with Uro and recursive black threats. So, cards that I would start including in my deck. Yes, Absorb is very good, but I'd be more interested in playing cards like Syncopate and Dissipate,
mm-hmm.
just to interact with those graveyard-type cards. But a big anti-creature card that's probably going to be very useful for folks moving forward is Horribly Awry. And for those of you who don't remember, it's from Battle of Zendikar. It's one of the blue instant is Devoid. Counter target creature spell with converted mana cost 4 or less. If it's countered this way, exile it. So that's a clean answer to Uro, clean answer to Kroxa if that becomes a thing, Polukranos, you know, those escape creatures, as well as just cleanly answering threats like Gutterbones and Bloodsoaked Champion if they play them on turn 2, Earthshaker Kenra, Arclight Phoenix, things like that. Arclight Phoenix definitely actually can be back on the menu now that the format slowed down a little bit. So, I mean, there are just definitely some recursive mid-range threats that are handled by this. And it also just handles things like Sea Driver. Great against the Planeswalker type things, but just something to keep on your radar when you're building your control decks as a card to have in your back pocket.
I hadn't considered Horribly Awry, but that's a card that I definitely played quite a bit in the standard format. Is that something that you've been seeing?
I've been talking to just people after the bans, trying to see like, you know, what are, is control back on the menu in Pioneer?
Because
that's mostly what I'm interested in. Talking to just like blue white players, and they're like, yeah, I mean, Horribly Awry seems like the the thing we need to be doing, like some sort of counter spell that exiles, because realistically, blue white control is just going to just have fits with Uro and Kroxa. Like those two cards, if those two cards see any amount of play, blue white control is going to struggle.
Now you have Syncopate.
Yeah, I mean, you have Syncopate, which is playable, but it gets really awkward and you kind of get outscaled because you want to be doing other things with your mana over the course of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But they are good on the earlier turns. And so the question is, like, do you play some number of Dissipates or, you know, whatever other exile counters there are? I think there's a Devoid one, Void Shatter.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a colorless counter spell. But, like, you know, do you play those? Do you play Syncopates? Do you play this? Like, how do you configure those that counter suite?
Yeah, one of my favorite features of Pioneer is the fact that there's a question about like which counters to use. It's like a little bit more clean cut for older formats that have more cards in it. Like Modern definitely has decisions to be made as far as like what 2-mana, what 3-mana counter spell to include, but it's a little bit more cohesive as far as what the standard or what the go-to is. But there's a lot of questioning on like what the like most common or the best choice is for 3-mana counters. And I'm seeing like, you know, obviously there's like lots of Absorb. I'm seeing this deck right here play 4 copies of Render Silent. And Render Silent is white, blue, blue, instant, counter target spell. Its controller can't cast spells this turn. Why might you be interested in a Render Silent in this format, do you think?
Against like multiple like decks that are trying to double spell you in a turn, like Prowess decks. Hitting the first spell and like cutting them off from doing other things.
Like sorceries after it though, you know? Like those decks can just like pile up instants on you then? They just can, I don't know.
They can pile up instants on you, but like, I mean, there are definitely just like, if there are decks that are trying to play multiple spells in turn, even just like the tempo gain of like, so like your opponent wants to go like play a 1-drop and a 2-drop, you counter their 1-drop, strand their 2-drop, and you buy yourself another turn, like that's, that tempo gain exists.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends. I mean, I guess it just depends on how the format shakes out and like what things come to the surface.
Yeah. It's interesting. I like the diversity in all these control decks that I'm seeing as I'm like digging into these lists. Some of them are like big on the cycling plan. There's one with an Abandoned Sarcophagus in it even, and their 3-drop counter spell choice is Neutralize, which I think Neutralize is very strong too.
Yeah, Neutralize is a nice one. I was really hoping that Farseek was legal in this format.
It's got to be something close to it, though, right?
Well, I specifically wanted something like Farseek that can search your deck for an island so that you can play Mystic Sanctuary and, like, Farseek up your Mystic Sanctuary to get back an instant or sorcery. Like, do that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't know if there's something similar to that that is legal, but Farseek was the only thing that really popped into my brain. Is like, oh man, if you could just Farseek for this thing and then like put your explosion on top of your deck playing like Wilderness Reclamation or something. Like,
that would be sweet.
Yeah, like that was the thing I was thinking of. I'm like, this is just where it's at, boys. Farseek for explosion. Hopped into it, explosion you for like 10, set up the next explosion, or draw Farseek and Farseek for another one and do the same exact line of thinking again and just bury your opponent.
Yeah.
That was the thought I was having, but it does not look like there is a Farseek variant that can do that, unfortunately.
Yeah, Farseek is probably a safe standard reprint. I mean, we've seen so much ramp stuff in standard go terribly wrong lately. So it's probably maybe not worth trying, but as far as getting it into more of the recent sets like Historic and Pioneer, I think it would be kind of cool to experiment with somehow working it into those formats. And I can't think of a way to do that cleanly other than just printing it into Standard. But it would be neat to have it in Pioneer, that's for sure.
I think it might make mana too good in Pioneer, so they might not want to do it. They might want to actually make choices. Because, like, now you just, like, splash green and play a bunch of, like, green duels, and you get to touch a third or fourth color because you draw Farseek. Now, like, sure, that comes at a cost of, well, okay, if you happen to do that with Farseek, you're going to take a bunch of L's because all your lands are going to be temples against the red decks because you can't take the damage. But then, like, does that really matter when you can touch, you know, when you can play, like, Night of Autumn into rest, like, in a, you know, in a Thragtusk, like, going up the curve of Light Game. Night of Autumn, Elite Guard Mage, Thragtusk.
Or even Turn 3 Wrath.
Like, yeah, or Turn 3 Wrath. Like, and do the things that, like, the Wolf Run Red deck was doing in Standard.
Yeah.
When that was the thing where you, like, were a Bant control deck, but instead of playing 9 basics, you played, like, 2, and you splashed for Wolf Run, and you played, like, 2 Wolf Runs and 6 Red Duels or whatever.
Yeah.
And Farseek put your Red Duel into play, and then, like, were all your lands were shock lands, but it didn't matter because you had, like, Centaur Healer on 3 and a Restoration Angel to gain some life, and then you had Thragtusk plus Restoration Angel plus Angel Serenity, and you could just, like, gain all this life and momentum, and you had Sphinx's Revelation. So, like, that might make that style of deck just a little too good.
Right. Yeah, man. I'm excited to see where this goes. I really hope that this is a ban and restricted update for the better for Pioneer, because I really desperately want this format to be fun. I have been avoiding it like the plague lately. It just does not seem appealing to me, and I don't think it's really seems appealing to anyone.
To be fair, they're getting closer to my mission statement of Pioneer, which is that
Seedrino is a playable
magic card. Yeah, Seedrino is a playable magic card. If they keep moving in that direction, that format will eventually become good.
Well, I maintain that Siege Rhino is playable in the Niv-Mizzet deck. So if that deck is the tier one, then I think that counts, right?
I mean, sure. Okay.
Just because people don't play it in there consistently doesn't mean they shouldn't.
Okay, I mean, like, Siege Rhino being a consistently playable card in this format, like, not just like one deck plays one of it sometimes. Like,
if there's
a possibility for a mid-range deck to play 3 or 4 Siege Rhinos, and they do, and it's playable, like, that's the kind of format I think Pioneer is striving to be.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right. Well,
you wanted to talk about Historic.
I don't play Historic.
No, I don't play Arena at all.
Yeah, well, I think you should consider Historic. I know you are trying to avoid the whole Arena thing, but it's a blast. It's really cool. And I think that there is quite a bit of momentum building for Historic, especially with the Jumpstart being released and infusing tons and tons of new playables into the format. There is a really fantastic series, and it just slips my mind right now which website puts it on, but there's kind of like a third-party website that's running a series. I think it's weekly, every weekend, a free tournament series that they organize and then post results on Reddit and probably on Twitter as well, for Historic. And I think a lot of people follow those results and basically kind of get a lot of information on the competitive scene from there. But we're seeing, like, some really cool decks pop up. Obviously, we had a banned and restricted update that shook it up and kind of got rid of the Temur Reclamation decks, or, you know, at least banned Wilderness Reclamation from them. I imagine this would eliminate them. And got rid of Tefri Time Raveler. So two big players in the Historic metagame were those two. Temur Reclamation and then Tefri Time Raveler was a big part of, like, a Bant field deck, as well as just, like, a control all-star in the format. Tefri is generally unfun to play against for a lot of decks. I'm happy to have this opportunity to play a format where it doesn't exist, because it's just such a consistent part of Modern. It's been such a consistent part of Standard for so long. Obviously, now it's banned in Standard, and it will maintain a part of Pioneer, obviously. So,
yep.
Historic will be a place where I don't have to deal with it, and that's great. But there is a Goblins deck in Historic that is just tearing it up, and I think that it is kind of an oversight for this banned and restricted update to overlook that. But basically, the Goblins deck is just this extremely aggressive Goblins haste strategy that goes super wide, using Muxus Goblin Grandee, which is a jumpstart card. Are you familiar with it?
Isn't that the like four red red ringleader that casts them or whatever?
Yes, more or less. I'm gonna read the text on it. So if someone at home is unfamiliar, it'll kind of clear up you know exactly what it does. It's got a lot of text on it. So yeah, 6 mana total for legendary creature goblin noble. Doesn't really matter, it's a noble. It is a 4/4. When it enters the battlefield, reveal the top 6 cards of your library. Put all goblin creature cards with converted mana cost 5 or less, which is all of them, except for other Muxuses, from among them onto the battlefield and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. When Muxus attacks, it gets +1/+1 until end of turn for each other goblin you control. So the idea is that this deck plays 4 Skirk Prospectors. It plays 4 Wily Goblins. It plays 4... Oh my gosh, I don't even know what the Mog War Marshal, the bad Mog War Marshal is, that it's like one in a red, it just gives you a goblin token, and it itself is a goblin.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about, it's terrible, but yeah.
So essentially it's trying to like play Muxus on turn 3 consistently, yeah. And they can do that pretty consistently because it's playing like 3 copies of Muxus in the deck. And when it does that, it tries to hit one of 6 copies of Goblin Chieftain or Goblin War Chief, I believe it is. One of the 3 mana goblins that gives your dudes haste. And when you do that... Oh. What? What am I? Did I do the name wrong?
I said yes. No, you got it. Yeah. Oh, okay. Like, yes. Sorry.
Yeah. So either one of those guys gives your dudes haste. You can usually put an average of like 3 to 4 goblins on the battlefield when you play a Moxus. I'd say about 80% of the time you get haste. Pile driver is not legal in it is not legal in this format, no.
Thank God. I was about to say, I just imagining like
you don't need it.
Pile driver, like ugh.
Yeah, Muxus. You don't need it.
Oh, it's so miserable.
No, you've got Conspicuous Snoop, which is a really good value engine. It's a really good opportunity to get
Snoopy. Yeah.
Yeah, and you've also got the 4 mana dude that can tap to put copies or tokens on the battlefield equal to the number of goblins you have. So when that guy has haste, yeah, Krenko, that powers out just a ton of attackers with haste from Muxus and pumps Muxus bossiest. Up to
yeah, the just bossiest crazy of power. The bomb.
Yeah.
Oh my.
So usually a resolved Muxus, especially on turn 3, means you like win the game then and there. But
without, so they just need to like ban Muxus? Is that what's going on here?
They probably do. They probably need to ban Muxus. And I think the thing is, even without Muxus, the deck is really playable. It's super competitive because the alternative is you've just got a mono red deck that has like goblin ringleaders for like value and refilling. You've got goblin chain whirler, which is a very, very strong card. And you can do, like, just straight-up aggression using the Goblin Chieftain and Goblin War Chief. And it's really strong. It's super aggressive. It's super fast. And there's so much synergy there that's just, like... We're already overlooking cards like the 4-mana 4/2 that when it enters the battlefield, it deals damage equal to the number of goblins you have. Because there's no room in the deck for a card like that. Goblin Chain Whirler doesn't even make the cut in this. There's not enough room for that card.
Jesus.
So it's super like streamlined, like let's get Muxus out and let's just swarm him with like 14 hasty goblins.
Sure.
So it's really, really strong, super consistent. I've like gotten like I've just like pretty much walked my way up to the platinum tier on Arena in the last 2 seasons with this deck, and it's like been like not even a challenge. It's like it's really stupid. The other way to do it is there's a red black deck with Chain Whirler and the 2 and a black sorcery that can reanimate 2 creatures with total converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Give them Death Touch Menace.
So you can give your Chain Whirler Death Touch and kill their board and then get in with your dudes. So That's the alternative. So I'm thinking that like if Muxus gets banned, it's bad for the players that are playing the deck, but they still have a very viable deck, and I think it's very potentially still a tier 1 deck in the format.
But well, I think if they take the idea of anytime we ban a card, we'll give you the wild cards for it,
mm-hmm.
Then I don't think it's bad to fix formats. But if they're not going to do that, then don't fix the formats. As dumb as that sounds.
Right. Yeah. So Historic is pretty close to being relatively healthy, but I'm feeling like after this ban, we're probably going to see Goblins as the strongest deck, hands down, in the format. Mono Blue Temple, also very, very strong. Basically like the Autumn Bird Chat deck.
Okay.
Tempest Gin doesn't really make the cut. It's a little bit more like all one drops and like eight copies of Curiosity type of thing.
Sure.
And then just a bunch of efficient two mana counter spells. So without Teferi, that deck got a hell of a lot stronger too. So.
Yep.
Anyways, I check out the metagame a little bit if you're interested in it. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of older cards in it. There's a lot of like legacy era cards in it because of the anthologies and because of Jumpstart. So it's kind of this weird mix of like the format seems like almost wider and older than Pioneer, but it's like smaller. It's strange, you know, because there's like Grim Lavamancer in it. And, you know, like Goblin Gempalm Incinerator is like part of the format. So there's really weird ways that cards are being included in Historic that just bypasses Pioneer entirely and obviously bypasses Standard. So
yeah,
it's unusual, but it's fun in that way.
Sure.
So there you have it. I just wanted to address that. I dig it. I like Historic. I think it kind of scratches my itch to play in Eternal format on Arena. Like Standard and Brawl absolutely does not on there. I do not get that experience.
Sure.
From those. No.
Totally yeah. Fair.
All right, man. Well, that's all I wanted to cover today. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff to digest, and I think that we're going to have some more to, you know, cover as these formats sort of shake out with these bans and suspensions in mind.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
We'll catch you next time.
Take it easy.
Modern Metacall is a production of CarnockLife.com, where you can find a selection of MTG content, both written and recorded. Looking for deck primers? We've got them. Interested in videos? Try our CKL Play series, where we take the most interesting decks appearing in published results for a spin through MTGO leagues. We've got a team of talented writers specializing in a variety of formats and archetypes. To keep up with Cardnock Life offerings, you can follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/cardknocklifepodcast. Thanks is due to manatraders.com, mtgcast.com, and thediscard.com for their support in making this possible, and thank you for listening, commenting, sharing, and reading Cardnock Life content.